1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 22, Paul says, "The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Paul says there in verse 23, "We preach Christ crucified." This is the message that God sends his messengers to preach, Christ crucified. Paul said over in another place here in 2 Corinthians, he said, "We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord." He said, "I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is not the message the world is preaching. The world is not preaching Christ and him crucified. This is not the message that's being proclaimed this morning in most pulpits. It's not the message of Christ and him crucified. It's a rare thing where God sets up the gospel and goes forth preaching and glorifying Christ and him crucified. Now this gospel, this message comes to three kinds of people, and it has three kinds of effects in those that hear it. And everybody fits into one of these classifications right here. He says of the Jew in verse 22, "The Jews require a sign. And therefore," verse 23, "unto the Jews, Christ crucified is a stumbling block." He says the Greek, verse 22, "The Greeks seek after wisdom. And therefore the preaching of Christ crucified," verse 23, "is unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called," verse 24, "unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, who is the Jew? He says, "The Jews require a sign, and therefore unto the Jews, Christ crucified is a stumbling block." In the context here, the Jew is a self-made religious man. That's who the Jew is. Any sinner that's attempting to come to God in any way, trusting in his works, is the Jew that Paul speaks of in this context. He seeks a sign. He seeks an outward work he can see. Our Lord told the Pharisees that you seek honor from men. You're looking for honor from men. So everything you do to be seen of men. And you don't seek the honor that comes from God. That's what he told them. And so doing so, they not only are trying to show forth a sign in themselves, they want to see a sign in others. A sign in others. It's a carnal mind focusing on carnal, fleshly things. Touch not, taste not, handle not, things you can see. And so the preaching of Christ crucified is a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block. It trips up the self-made religious man because the gospel declares that Christ and him crucified is the salvation of his people. And this is a stumbling block. The Jew here, the self-made religious man, he thinks he's righteous by his own will. Paul called it will worship. It's actually the worship of a man's will. And this is what you hear so much of in the world today. Paul called it will worship. It's thinking a man saved by his own will. That it was by his will that he came to Christ, or that he, whatever his form of religion is, it's by his will. And so it's a stumbling block to hear that sinners are saved by the will of God. To hear that it's God who chooses whom he will and has mercy on whom he will. That is a stumbling block. To hear that it takes Christ coming in the power of the Holy Spirit to create a new heart in a sinner and make you willing in the day of his power, by his power, that you must be taught of God. This is offensive to a naturally religious man. The truth is, man's will is not free. You hear this a lot, you know, you're going to hear people talk about, well, we have a free will. Our will is always bound to our nature. It's always under the power of our nature, whatever our nature is. And we come into this world with a nature that is nothing but sin. And we're not willing to believe God. We're not willing to give up anything of ourselves and totally renounce ourselves and trust Christ only. That takes the Lord coming and giving you a new heart. That's why the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It always will be. Even in the believer, that which is born of the flesh is still just flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We have to be born of God and given a new spirit. And the scripture says, he said to Christ, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. When he gives you a new heart and he gives you a new will, you're willing. But he has to make us willing by his power so he gets the glory. The Jew's a self-righteous man. It means he thinks he's making himself righteous by something of himself. He doesn't truly believe that he and all sinners are truly, totally, thoroughly depraved. He really does not believe that. If we believe in total depravity, we realize we cannot make ourselves righteous in any shape, form, or fashion. We can't contribute to it in any way. You and I have to be saved by the righteousness of another. And that's Christ. He may have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. He doesn't believe Christ because those that believe Christ submit to Christ as our only righteousness. Paul said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. The man that is still going about trying to make himself righteous has not submitted to the righteousness of God, which is Christ our righteousness. He really doesn't believe that by one man, sin entered the world and death by sin and death passed upon all men. He really doesn't believe that. Because if he ever sees Christ and knows Christ, he's going to understand that we're made righteous by one man's obedience. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jew is a self-sanctifying man. He's a self-sanctifying man. The word Pharisee means separate ones. That's what it means. But the problem with the Pharisees was they separated themselves. They did the separating. That's the problem. And so they made themselves holy, they thought. And the scripture says, they say of others, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I'm holier than that. And the Lord says, that heart, that spirit is a stench in my nose. It's a fire that burns all the day. It's a picture of a garbage dump set on fire and just burning and stinking. That's what the Lord said of it. He doesn't hear the law. The man who thinks he can sanctify himself by his obedience, he does not hear what the law says. He does not hear it. The law says we are sin. The law says we are sin. We are sin. We have to be sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, men who say this usually don't say they're keeping the law for righteousness. They won't say they're keeping the law for righteousness. They say they're keeping the law to be holy and to become more holy and make themselves more holy. We don't believe that. I've never preached that message. That's a false gospel. That's a false gospel. Christ makes his people holy when he enters in the heart. And he grows us in that state of holiness, but we don't get more holy. We don't get more holy. Paul said, this only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? It's exactly what he's saying. Do we now, that we've begun in the Spirit, do we go back now and start trying to perfect ourselves by our fleshly doing? This thing is of Christ. The Jew's a self-redeemed man. He believes he set himself free by his will, by whatever he's done. He set himself free. And so he stumbles when he hears that Christ is the Redeemer. Christ is the Redeemer. A sinner that trusts his own power, trusts his own wisdom, his own righteousness, his own free holiness, is not free at all. He's not free at all. He's miserably in bondage and will bring others into that same bondage. He stumbles at the gospel of Christ and Him crucified. And here's the offense. When you hear Christ and Him crucified, and Christ is made all to His people, that means that you and I, as sinners, don't have any room to glory. All the glory goes to Christ. And that offends the natural man. That's the offense. Look over at Romans 9 with me. Romans chapter 9. This was the problem when Christ came. This was the problem in Israel. Romans 9, 31. Well, let's begin in verse 30. What shall we say then? The Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness. They didn't have the law. They weren't following after righteousness. They weren't trying to make themselves righteous before God. And yet they have attained to righteousness. Like Abraham, that didn't even have the law. How could he be righteous before God? Even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, they were whitewashed outwardly and looked like they were righteous outwardly and looked like they were holy outwardly and were very appealing to men. They did not attain to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, because they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So that's the Jew. We're talking about the Jew trusting his own works, his own doing. Now, what's the Greek? Who's the Greek? It says, verse 22, the Greeks seek after wisdom. And so, therefore, verse 23, unto the Greeks, the preaching of Christ is foolishness. The Greek represents all sinners who have their heart set on the world. They are interested in the world's wisdom, in the world's riches, in the world's promotion, in the world's applause, in philosophy, in arts and sciences, in history, in politics, in sports, and recreation, whatever, but they consider what we're doing right here to be utter foolishness. To tell them there is a God in heaven that made everything, that spoke it into existence, who's been ruling everything since the beginning and will continue to rule it until the end, until he's called each and every one of his people to himself, they consider that's utter foolishness. That's just bizarre. And that's they like the like those that Paul went to at Athens. And it said, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered the Apostle Paul, and they said, what will this babbler say? Some said, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus. He preached the resurrection. A natural man just can't, we can't believe naturally, believe that a man, Christ Jesus, the God-man, we can't believe he came down from heaven as God and took flesh, and a natural man can't believe that he arose from the dead and ascended back to glory. And this was strange to them. And they took him and they brought him to Areopagus, and they said, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know thereof what these things mean. Because all the Athenians and strangers were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That's the only reason they wanted to hear Paul that day. It just was something new to them. They weren't interested in it. And when they heard it, it was foolishness to them. So everything to the Greek, everything about all religion is foolishness to the Greek. But especially the truth of Christ and declaring the truth that gives him all the glory and sinners none. That's foolishness to the wise and prudent man of the world. Well, what's the preaching of Christ crucified unto them that are called? Look here in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The reason that God's messenger preaches Christ crucified, reason that we major, it's not a Christ-centered gospel we preach. Christ is all we preach. And the reason for that is because this is the power of God unto salvation. Christ is the power and wisdom of God unto salvation. And the church rejoices to hear the gospel that glorifies the one who saved us. We rejoice to hear Christ honored and glorified and preached. And it never gets old to us. It never gets old. Those God calls are no different than the Jew and the Greek. We're no different than the Jew and the Greek. We're looking to ourselves and thought we were wise and thought all this was just foolishness at one time. And we didn't make the difference. God made the difference. He made the difference by his grace. He effectually called us. This is Christ speaking. This is Christ speaking through this gospel, through this word, as it's going forth. A sinner comes in, he sits down, he may be a Greek, he may be a Jew, he's looking to himself either way, and this gospel comes and Christ speaks it into his heart in power, and when he does, he calls him. He calls him out of his religion, he calls him out of his vain worldly wisdom, he calls him to himself. He calls his people out from among the Jews and the Greeks, out of the religion and the worldly philosophies. But to all who he calls, those that he calls, Christ is made unto us to be the power and the wisdom of God. When a sinner is made to behold Christ and truly behold Christ, that's when God reveals his righteousness to us. He reveals his righteousness to us. This is where it all centers in right here, is the righteousness of God. That's the whole purpose for Christ coming. Look back at verse 19. This is when we find out we have no power and wisdom in ourselves. We become ignorant. We shut our mouths because Christ becomes power and wisdom. And this is on purpose, verse 19. For it's written, God said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? The debater. Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God did this all on purpose. From Adam all the way to Christ came. Our God, he saved his people along the way, but he proved that sinners, by our own wisdom, cannot know God. We cannot know God. He said in Romans 1, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and beasts and what have you. And God proved by that after man's wisdom, he can't find out God. But God purposed from eternity to save by this foolish means that the world calls foolishness, by the preaching of Christ and him crucified, so that those that he saves, they're going to cease glorying in themselves and glory only in the Lord. Look at verse 21, 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This right here that we're doing today is so, I can't even express how important it is. It is life. It is life. And the world goes around and just shrugs it off and don't tell me about that. I don't want to go hear a message preached that gives God all the glory. Taking the things God gives every day, the sunlight and the rain and the vegetables and the food and the everything that God's given, and at the same time saying, but I don't want to hear God. This right here is how he's going to give life. He's going to preach the gospel to us. It pleased God to save through the foolishness of preaching. We need to be under the preaching of the gospel of Christ every time the door opens. We need to be gathered together to hear the gospel preached every time we can hear the gospel preached. It's life and death. I said when the kids were younger, to all the young people, I said, whatever you do, even if you don't believe what you're hearing preached, whatever you do, as much as you can, just be under the preaching of the gospel. Don't stop coming to hear the gospel preached, because if God quickens you in the heart, this is how he's going to do it. Look here at verse 25. The foolishness of God's wiser than men. The weakness of God stronger than men. If you see your calling, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God's not doing it the way the world thinks it ought to be done. He's not doing it the way false religion's doing it. He's purposely staining the pride of men. That's what he's doing. He's purposely going to send a messenger to his people that's going to humble his people just by who they are. And in the message they preach, it's going to humble his people. We're going to have to be brought to nothing. God has chosen foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God makes his elect behold Christ is the power and wisdom of God unto salvation. That's what he does when he calls us. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's written, the just, those Christ justified, they shall live by faith, by his faithfulness, giving us faith and making us walk by faith. This work of salvation is all of God in Christ Jesus, every bit of it. Look here in verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. When God makes us know that it's of God that we're in Christ, when he makes you know you're in Christ Jesus, and the only reason you're in Christ Jesus is of God, because he called you into Christ. When he makes us know that, brethren, we stop boasting in our will, and we stop trying to take God's glory. When God makes Christ wisdom to us, that's when we have the mind of Christ. That's when the light shines. That's when you start hearing and understanding spiritual things. And when that happens, we become a fool. And ourselves, we see ourselves as being so ignorant and so foolish, and that we have no wisdom whatsoever but Christ. We stop leaning to our own understanding. We start looking to him. That's when we truly are made wise. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He said in Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. It's out of his mouth that comes knowledge and understanding. He has to be made wisdom to us. And when Christ is made righteousness to us, That's when we're settled. That's when we're sure. That's when we stop trying to work for salvation. That's when we rest in Christ and cast it all into his hand. He stops being a stumbling block to us, because when we see Christ, when you see that it took God sending his own Son, the Son of God coming down in human flesh to put away the sin of his people, when we see that God incarnate went to the cross and laid down his life for vile, base sinners like we are to put away our sin, and that's what it took to satisfy justice, that's what it took to honor God's law, it took Christ coming and from an infant in a womb, sinless, to live his entire life walking under the law in place of his people to make his people the righteousness of God. And then he went to the cross and laid down his life, bearing the sin and guilt of his people. When you see that, I mean really know this, you can't boast anymore in anything you've ever done or will do that's going to make you have any acceptance with God. And we stop when we behold Christ's righteousness, we stop falling out and falling aside and thinking that we're not his anymore by anything we do or don't do. This thing works to make you shut up to him, to know he is my salvation. He's my righteousness. That's power and wisdom. He had made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we got to have. He's not pleased with just doing the best you can. He's not pleased with just, you know, giving it the old college try and having a sincere heart. We got to be perfect to be accepted of God. We got to be as righteous as God is righteous. And there's only one way that is. That's Christ only. Christ only. Christ is the power and wisdom of God in the heart. When of God, Christ has made sanctification unto us. This is when we really understand what true sanctification is. Until then, we've got the words of men and we're following men, but we really don't know what sanctification of the heart really is. Christ enters in. Wherever Christ is, he sanctifies it. Wherever he is, he's the holiness of it. When he entered into that tabernacle and the Shekinah glory entered in, that's what made that place holy. And when Christ enters in spirit into the heart of his child, there is a new man created that's inseparably one with Christ, and that new man is absolutely perfectly holy because of Christ. Not because of us, because of Christ. No sin, no guile. That's the only way God could let us come into his holiest of holies, even in prayer right now, is if we're perfectly holy in Christ. And the paradox to this and the oxymoron of this is that when he does this work, we stop looking at ourselves and calling what we've done holiness, and we start looking out of ourselves to him and knowing, I am holy and perfect because by one offering, Christ has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Godliness, the word godliness, translated godliness, doesn't even have the word God in it. You know what it means? Devotedness. And it's the Lord doing what he did to Abraham, coming to us over and over and over and shining the light more and more and more so that we see he's the Almighty God. He's our holiness. He's our perfection. And the more that light shines, the more you see you're living in a condemned, fallen down, decrepit, ruined house. So that you find all your confidence in him and none in yourself. More and more and more and more. That's true growth in grace. That's true growth in grace. When Christ is made unto us redemption, that's when we glory in the power and wisdom of God who sent our kinsman redeemer. This one who was a near kinsman from the foundation of the world, chosen of God, precious before God, in whom all his brethren were his children. He's the elder brother. And our near kinsman came down because he's the only one who had the right to redeem his people from the curse of the law. And he did it by going to the cross and being made a curse for us in our room instead. What did he accomplish by that? He satisfied the law perfectly so that the law looks at his people now and says, they're perfect, they're righteous. And he comes to you in the power when he enters into the heart and when he makes that new man in us and he frees you from the dominion of your sin nature so that you can actually believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can. The only way we can. And he keeps us knowing he's our redemption because just like he didn't destroy all the enemies when he brought them into the land of Canaan, he hadn't destroyed all the enemies in our flesh either. So that ever so often when we start looking at ourselves and thinking we can walk and thinking we're a little better and this and that and the other, the Lord just lets us see what we are. And we can't deliver ourselves from ourselves. And he comes and set you free and shows you, I'm your redeemer. I'm your redeemer. And he shows you, he's redeemed you, he's delivered you from the devil, from hell, and from the grave. And I'm telling you this, brethren, We have no more ability. We cannot in any way one day redeem our bodies from this vile body and make it fashioned like unto his glorious body, bring it out of the grave and give it a new glorified body and be with Christ. We have no ability to do that. No ability. And we don't have any more ability to redeem ourselves from the curse of the law, redeem ourselves from our sin nature, redeem ourselves from the power of the devil, redeem ourselves from hell. Christ is the Redeemer. He's the Redeemer. And that's why we glory only in the Lord. This is why we preach Christ and Him crucified. We've experienced Christ's power and wisdom so that Christ is all and in all unto us. I read something about a church years ago. They had a sign up, archway up, as you entered into the courtyard, and it said, "We preach Christ crucified." We preach Christ crucified. And over the years, the ivy started to grow on that sign, and it grew over crucified. And you could just read, "We preach Christ." So they preached Christ as a moral example and an example to follow. But they quit preaching about the blood. They quit preaching about the righteousness of God and Him being the holiness and the redemption and the wisdom of His people. And the ivy grew a little bit more, and you couldn't even read the word Christ. All you could read was, "We preach." And they kept preaching. They kept preaching. And the ivy grew a little bit more, and then all you could read is, "We." And it was just a social club. Just a social club, like any other in the world. God, give us the grace to keep Christ preeminent in our hearts so we say with Paul, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Amen. Our Father, we thank you for this word. Lord God, thank you for making Christ our wisdom and our power. Lord, we pray you keep him in our hearts. Ask you, Lord, to keep us looking only to him. Lord, we ask you to bless this word today and call one of your lost sheep. Make them hear and know Christ and see how vital it is to be found in him alone. Make Christ everything to your people, Lord. Forgive us our sins, Father. Keep us looking to him. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.